I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is very short but meaningful. I'm reading out of Ephesians 5, chapter 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word.
I'm standing here only because John asked me to give him a big introduction. Before he does preach, I do want to say how grateful I am that he has filled in for two Sundays in a row. It has been very helpful, and I know that Laura and Seth are very appreciative to have that time. I can say for his grand introduction that you're about to honestly hear the gospel according to John. So I give you John Beeson.
Well, I'm not real sure what to say after that introduction. I'm glad to be here this morning. And I thought a lot about what I wanted to talk to you about. Anytime that I preach, I pray to the Lord. And He's the one that gives me the word to say. If I say them wrong, it's my fault. The Lord guides me in everything I do. He has helped me immeasurably. But I want to talk to you today about the opportunity we have that's facing us here in this new year, 2016. Now, I'm sure that many of you on New Year's Day had some really special dishes with your New Year's dinner, and that you enjoyed games on TV, and some of you probably even had an afternoon nap. I did. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was small, God, I hated to take naps. But you know something now, at this stage of my life, I love that afternoon nap. I really do. Amen. And I'm sure that all of you have noticed that every year, almost all the major news organizations put out special sections or segments recalling people and events that made news in the previous year. And many of these organizations include segments by experts, I'll use the quotation marks there, predicting what they expect to see happening in the years ahead. Some even go so far as to make predictions covering 10, 20, or even more years in the future. A few of those predictions have proven to be fairly accurate, while others couldn't have been more wrong. I'm reminded of an example from 1967, where experts predicted that by the turn of the century, technology would have taken over so much of our work that the average American work week would be 22 hours long, and we would only work 27 weeks a year. As a result, one of our biggest problems would be, what do we do with all our leisure time? Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't found that leisure time. When I think I have found some leisure time, Margie brings out the list. And that keeps you busy. But you know, today, all of us seem to be busy. We're always in a hurry. We walk fast. Some of us even talk fast. And we eat fast. And each day passes fast, especially as we grow older. So here we are on the first Sunday of 2016. I wonder how we'll do this year. Will we be busy? Will we make better use of our time than we did last year? When this year is over, will we be looking back at it with joy or with regret? Will we be looking at the future with anticipation or dread? Our scripture reading today bears repeating. It says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. That passage of Scripture can really help us if we listen to it. I think that Paul in that passage presents some important lessons that we need to consider. First of all, we need to be very careful how we live, because our time here on earth is limited. In Psalms is written, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting is my life. Again in Psalms, it says, the length of our days is 70 years or 80. If we have the strength, they quickly pass and we fly away. Now I realize that many of the younger people think that 70 or 80 sounds like a long, long time. In fact, I can remember when I thought 40 was ancient, but not anymore. I mean, I went slam through 40. You know, for example, today teenagers get together and they talk a lot together in a car or wherever. And an hour or two seems to just be a blink of the eye. But for the mother and father, worrying about what's going on in that car, that hour or two seems like an eternity. Psalms tells us to number our days so that we will develop a heart of wisdom. A few years ago, in People magazine, they published an article called Dead Ahead. It was telling about a new clock that kept track of how much time each of us have left on Earth. It calculated an average lifespan of 75 for men and 80 for women. So you programmed your sex and your age into it, and from then on, it would tell you how much time you had left. I didn't buy one, but I thought it was an intriguing idea. Isn't that what we heard in Psalms, to number our days? When I first read about it, being a technical person, I figured that if I lived to be 75 years old, at that time I had 2,345 days left to live. That's it, 2,345. Now that I'm past 75, I suppose that I'm in overtime. Thank you, Bob. But wait a minute, there's something you need to think about. neither you nor I or the choir have a guarantee of even one more day. And it doesn't make a difference if you're young or old. Now, we've just heard today about Seth's friend, a young man who had a whole life ahead of him. He's gone. It can happen in the blink of an eye. In fact, the Bible tells us to not count on tomorrow, because tomorrow may not come for you or for me. All we have is right now. So our time on earth is valuable because it is limited. Second, Paul tells us in this passage that we must make the most of every opportunity. And he gives a reason, because the days are evil. Jesus told us that Satan is a robber and a thief. And one of the things that he tries to rob from us is our time, because time is precious. Just think of the time we each waste. Think of the times that have been wasted in bars or in shallow affairs. Or think of the time wasted in gossiping and spreading rumors. Or think about all the time that's wasted worrying about the consequences of sins that we have committed in the past. But it's not just sin that makes demands on our time. Sometimes good things make demands. For instance, in the New Testament, Jesus went to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he sat down to teach. And Mary was sitting at his feet, just listening. Meanwhile, Martha was in the kitchen, preparing dinner. Now, you know that story. You've all heard it hundreds of times. It's found in Luke 10. Martha gets upset because Mary's not in the kitchen too. So she complains to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me." What did Jesus say? "You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, was Martha committing a sin by preparing a meal in the kitchen? Certainly not. But here's the problem. She was so preoccupied with what she was doing that she failed to realize that it was Jesus in there in the other room talking. And that's the same mistake that each one of us makes. We make it almost every day. We get so caught up in the here and now that we fail to deal with the eternal, the things that will last forever. We're overloaded with commitments. We've committed ourselves to go here and there, to take part in this activity or that social function. As a result, we soon begin meeting ourselves, coming and going, because we've overloaded ourselves in that area of commitments. We're also overloaded with possessions. Our closets are full. Our garages are full. I've even got two separate buildings down on my place, and they're full. Can't hardly get into them. And we've gone into debt to pay for all these things that we simply must have. I got things in those buildings I hadn't seen in years, so I don't know really how much I really needed them. And then when we've got all those possessions, or begin to worry. Somebody's going to break in and steal them. So we're just overloaded in the area of possessions. Third, we're overloaded in the area of work. We get up early. We fight traffic. And sometimes even experience bad working conditions. Because we have to, if we're going to pay for all those possessions that we've accumulated. And then today we've got an information overload. Now with the internet, cell phones, it's an information superhighway. But the problem is, we can't possibly absorb it all. So we feel like we're overloaded in that area too. I know many of you all are computer savvy. I can use a computer. But I don't mind telling you, some of these new things they come out with on these computers, I can't even understand the language that they've got, and they're talking how you use it. I could go on and on, but you get the picture. There are so many demands on our time. There are so many things that needed to be done. But I'm telling you, this year, there's only 8,760 hours. And as of this morning, right about now, we've used about 60 of those hours. Have you used them productively? Well, you're here in church this morning. That's a good start. We are told to do the most or make the most of every opportunity we have. So how can we do that? Well, Paul tells us, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, what do you think the Lord's will is for you in this next year? Do you think that He wants your mind so saturated with worries and anxieties that you can't think about the spiritual side of life? Do you think that He wants your calendar so crowded that you don't have time for the important things? What do you think God's will is for you in 2016? Let me make a few suggestions for you to consider. First of all, establish your priorities. I know that you're in church here this morning because you believe in God, and you believe that God should be a part of your life. But when you begin to establish priorities, you have to decide just exactly where He stands in your life. So ask yourself, who or what is most important in my life? And I'm hoping that you will find that answer to be my relationship with God is the most important. So then if you put that on the top of your list of priorities and let that affect all the other decisions about your scheduling, your relationships with others, your whole outlook on life, things begin to take a different slant. When Sunday rolls around, and we want you to make the decision that neither rain nor shine, nor football kickoffs will interfere with my being in church, because He comes first. I'll worship the Lord, and I'll let nothing interfere with that. You also need to schedule some definite time each day to pray and to read His Word. Pray for yourself. Pray for your families. Pray for people around you. And pray for the church. And don't forget the missionaries overseas. I've lived overseas, and I know how lonesome you can get and how you feel so alone when you're so far away. You'll never know what your prayers mean to people like that, but you'll be blessed as you grow in your faith and your trust in the Lord. In 2016, you need to spend time with your family. I want to say something to you husbands. Every one of you husbands here today ought to have a date night with your wife. I'm serious. A date night. A time when it's just the two of you can get away and you don't have anything else to interfere. No phones, no interruptions, just the two of you talking and listening to one another. Maybe at a nice restaurant, or maybe just at home. But wherever it is, spend time together. Spend time with your children. They grow up so fast. The moments you have with them are precious. Don't let them get away. Make sure that you spend quality time with your children. Make sure that your family is high on that list. Now, most of us have to work. And I think, personally, that Christians especially should be good workers. When someone hires a Christian, they ought to know that they're getting someone who will give them an honest day's work and not cheat them. Because we are Christians, we have a responsibility to our Lord to honor Him even in the marketplace. So first of all, establish your priorities. And then learn how to live today. The two greatest enemies of time are regrets of things we did in the past and anxiety about what's going to happen in the future. So many of us live either in the past or in the future. In fact, most of us are engaged in a little game called I wish it were. I wish it were next week. Or I wish it was next month. Our children in school sometimes, boy, I wish this day was over. Recently, I read a story about a girl who went to college and just hated it. But she told herself, if I ever get out of college and get married and have children, I'll finally be able to enjoy life. So she stuck with it. She got her degree. She went to classes every day. And she finally graduated. And then she got married and she had children. And discovered, guess what? Children are a lot of work. So she told herself, if I can just get these kids raised, then I'll be able to relax and enjoy life. So about the time the kids were entering high school, her husband said, well, honey, guess what? We don't have enough money to send our kids to college. I guess you'll have to get a job. Well, she didn't want to, but she knew he was right, and they needed the money, so she went to work, and she hated it. But she told herself, if I can just get those kids out of college and get all the bills paid, then I can quit work and really enjoy life. See a pattern developing here? Well, finally, the last child graduated, and all the bills were paid. So she walked into her employer's office and said, "I quit." And he said to her, "Oh, you don't want to quit now. If you stay with us just another 8 years, you'll have pension for the rest of your life." So she thought, "Well, I don't want to work another 8 years, but there's all that money, and I really can't turn down that opportunity." So she worked another 8 years. Finally, she and her husband retired at about the same time. They sold their home and bought a smaller retirement home. And then they sat down on a swing in the front porch and they looked at the family picture album. And they dreamed about the good old days that she couldn't hardly wait to get through. All too often, we're caught up in the here and now. We're so caught up in it, we don't take the time to recognize what blessings the Lord has given us. For me, I've learned that life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. Another year has come and gone. A new year stretches before us. So let's have a happy new year. And during the new year, my wish for you is that you have enough happiness to keep you sweet, enough trials to keep you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, enough hope keep you happy, enough failure to keep you humble, enough success to keep you eager, enough friends to give you comfort, enough wealth to meet your needs, enough enthusiasm to make you look forward to tomorrow, and enough determination to make each day better than the day before. Always remember what it says in Romans 13, 11, and 12. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, please help us to use the hours of this year the wisest way we can for you and for your glory. We are human. And we tend to feel like our lives on earth will go on and on. Please help us to realize that our days are numbered and help us to use our time here wisely. Eternity stands before us, but we need to put your work first so that we can spend that eternity with you in heaven. Please help us to see that each day of this new year is filled with the opportunities to do your work. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.